verses 1 through 5. Brothers and sisters, if someone is overtaken in any wrongdoing, you, who are spiritual, restore such a person with a gentle spirit, watching out for yourselves so that you also won't be tempted. Carry one another's burdens, and this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone considers himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Let each person examine his own works, and then he can take pride in himself alone and not compare himself with someone else. For each person will have to carry his own load. Father, we thank you as we look at this word today, and certainly part of casting our cares upon you is listening to your word and letting you speak through your speakers. And we just pray as Gary preaches this morning that your spirit be with him in a great way and lead him in every word to say so that we might know what's your message to us. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. I appreciate those blessings as we come to a moment to open God's word and think about a few different things. I had mentioned last week that there's a lot going on in our world. Duh. That was really profound, wasn't it? Do you realize this is the third Sunday that I've stood before you and we've gathered together? There's a hurricane going on in our world. We talked to you last week about a potential offering for Haiti. The death toll has risen, and the injuries are there. The food and water needs are acute. So they had the earthquake, and then the first hurricane went over them. And then last week it was up at New York, and this week now it's hitting down in New Orleans, Louisiana area. Missouri Baptist Disaster Response has already been alerted that we're going to go down somewhere. And so they've pre-staged, so has Convoy of Hope that we're familiar with. And I'm not telling you where to do or how to give your money, but what I did say last week is any money that came in an envelope marked Haiti, we'd gladly use this SEND network, which is our Southern Baptist equivalent of Convoy of Hope, that we would use that. And I just encourage that because, hey, we're Southern Baptist Church, and nothing against what Convoy of Hope is doing or the denominations that they're affiliated with. I just want to make sure that we're at the table with a contribution to make as well. And then we talked last week about all the stuff that has happened in Afghanistan, and I think the next slide is a picture I'd like you to see. It was sent to me from a friend who is a general officer in the Middle East, not in Afghanistan in particular. It's a little difficult to see, but can you make out what that picture is? On the left-hand side is the little tiny face and tousled black hair of a little Afghani child where a service member in the United States Air Force has taken off his blouse and used it to wrap him up and provide a little comfort. And that was before what happened, the terrible attack. And I just let you know, let's go to the next slide if we could. I've had my friends with connections. Oh, can we back up one there? Nicole, this young man, this is one of his last texts home to the house before the bomb went off, and he was one of those killed. It says, "All good here, Mom. I love you." Just kind of tears you up, doesn't it? And then the next picture is this female Marine who is certainly adding tough and tender in the same spot. And then another one here. This is the young man from Wentzville, just up the road. Fort Leonard Wood is right there at Wentzville. We have a national or a veteran cemetery there and have been there as well. And then I had a friend who I'm working on the veteran thing with. He gave me this last image that I just wanted to share with you. And I don't usually get too choked up about what I find on Facebook. It's kind of more amusement than anything else. But that picture just seems to express what a lot of people need right now. And that is truly the ability to cast all our cares on Christ, The ability to know that whatever we're going through, whether that's as large as a national issue that we face or as small as the one person, the one individual there that needs a hug, I think we relate to that. You may not understand or get the logic behind what happens here from Sunday to Sunday. There are times when we're doing a sermon series like we did 1 Timothy, you pretty well knew what was coming next. Where did we quit last week and where are we going? Well, we've been in this decision-making time, and if you just take the history of our church back a month, there's been a whole lot of change going on, and not just in our church life, but in all the world around us. We talked at the front of the month about when the church prays, and we talked about praying for the decision that God would guide us in as we got forward, came forward to a moment of decision about pastoral leadership. I came with a message the week after, and I said it matters. And I wanted to remind us that the choices we make on a daily basis, whether we live out our faith or whether we pray as a group, and what we pray for, and the choices we make in all of our business meetings, they really matter. And what would it be like if we didn't take the time to disciple somebody or to reach out to somebody or to listen to the same problem that person has, but affirm them and encourage them to grow in their Christian life? It really matters. Then we talked about our highest calling, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor like yourself. Well, it matters, and it matters that we obey the Lord. But then last week's message, these are all intended anyway to have a bit of a progression. While it matters, and while we're carrying out our highest calling, it's not fair. Some of us have been at this a long time, and we are tired of caring for the brokenness of other people. There's a new disease out there that we call compassion fatigue. It's where those who are involved in the caring professions run out of care. And we're seeing that happen with our medical community. We're seeing it happen with our law enforcement community. There's a lot of folks now questioning the military community. And there's a lot of folks who are faithful in a Sunday school class down the hall week in, week out, that after a while they kind of go, I need a break. And we are wise to take care of ourselves so that we can take care of other people. But ladies and gentlemen, that brings us today's message, which I've retitled to be called A Redemptive Response. And it comes out of what Terry read for us out of the book of Galatians chapter 6, mostly verse 1, but that whole section we'll take a look at here. What is a redemptive response to all the stuff that's going on? Earthquakes, forest fires, COVID-19, withdrawal from Afghanistan, all of the compassion fatigue that goes on, just because, you know what? It is, and it will always be, easier to do nothing. But what does Christ ask us to do in response? How do we respond redemptively to this stuff? And it's burden bearing. I had a mixed reaction every time the Army sent me away for training, because it was good to get out of the office. It was good to see the world a little bit. It was good to have the Army pay for your supper. That was kind of cool. But then I had to come home, and the training was the easy part. The hard part was when you had to figure out what you sat through in that classroom. How in the world did it relate to your life right now? And how was I going to translate that into the state of Missouri through my chaplain team? And I got to the point where, you know what? The fun time wasn't worth all the work that was thereafter. And I'm going to say to you right up front today, you have to do homework with this message. Anyone can sit here and listen. But the real work comes when you take what you hear on a Sunday morning and you go to your house and you don't have roast preacher for dinner, you sit down and you say, well, how did that relate to us? I loved what Trevor said. Ask your kids what they got out of is going on over there. And I wish, you know, I'm tempted to send out an iris that just about 2 o'clock goes, what did you get from today's message? Did you do your homework? Did you take what we were talking about and make it fit into your world? Because otherwise, we're just kind of letting it come in one ear and out the other, and we'll see what he says next week. No, the hard work begins when you walk out those doors. I wish I could make that different, because I'd like to just come and have a good time and go somewhere else and do fun things too. But the stakes that we face today are too high to open the Word of God and not apply it personally. So, we begin with a sad situation. This redemptive response has to do with the key word in there is called katartizo. And basically what it means to restore to an original condition. So if you're depressed today and somebody would restore you to your original condition, they would cheer you up. They would encourage you. They would help you. They would bless your life. It's often used of a doctor setting a bone so that healing could begin to take place. You restore it to an original condition. In fact, Jesus came along Peter and James and John mending their nets. And that's this exact same word in the fishing industry. You go out and you snag your net on a rock at the bottom and you pull it up and there's a hole. If you're not careful, that hole gets bigger and the fish get away. And so you spend your free time mending your nets, putting the warp and woof. You tie onto this patch and you run a string over here and you, like darning socks in the good old days, you know, you restore what it was. So, point number one comes from verse 1. If a man be overtaken in a fault, brothers and sisters, if someone is overtaken in any wrongdoing, point number one, that is a sad situation. Now, that word literally means to take beforehand. It's something that you get yourself into that you don't realize the implications of just yet. It's the picture of a man walking on a slippery surface and falling. Have you ever fallen and just laid there a minute and taken inventory? What's broke? What hurts? Wait a second. That's what that word means. If one of you didn't go out and you didn't try to mess up, you didn't try to fall, you didn't try to bust a bone, but what might have happened? It's overtaken you. You slipped on it, and there it is. I remember one of my friends saying, don't walk on the ice with your hands in your pocket. That's good advice. You know why? Because you don't know when you're going to slip. And you know what? You might, you got a choice. You can break your wrist or you can crack your skull. Take your pick. Buy the gloves. Wear the mittens. Walk on the uncertain thing as balanced as you can. But the reality of it is you can have a false step. Another explanation of this word is to be caught in a mistake. And in my homely Ozarks way, I figured out how to know this word. Tripped and trapped. I'm walking along, minding my own business. Oop. And then you find out that not only did you fall, you now are living in an entirely new circumstance that you really didn't expect. Let me give you a few examples. We all know people who have fallen into sin this way. What about the banker who gets arrested for embezzling? He didn't mean to, didn't want to, but he made a poor choice at one time, and that poor choice led to more poor choices, and after a while, his picture's on the evening news, and he's lost his job, and he's lost his reputation, and he's lost his integrity. He's overtaken in wrongdoing. I think of so many young people who go to a party and just have a small drink, and after a while they're driving home, and there's an accident along the way. They're overtaken in a fault. And you know what society does to them? We punish them. When they've screwed up the most, when they've messed up royally, that's the greatest time for us to just cut them off and have nothing to do with them. I can't tell you how many preacher friends I've had who on their cell phone got into a place where they shouldn't have ever gone, and they weren't accountable to their spouse. And after a while, they went back, and they kept going back, and all of a sudden, there's a ministry gone, or there's a scandal in the church. And you know what we as the church usually do to help pastors like that? We fire them. They lose their home. They lose their job. They lose their family. They lose all credibility, and their whole network growing up along the way, nobody will even answer the call anymore. And I look at that and I go, boy, that is so contrary to what the Bible tells us to do. If any of you are overtaken in a wrongdoing, you're in a sad situation. Sin is real, ladies and gentlemen. It will trip you up and it will trap you so that you feel there is no way out. Sin is sticky. You get stuck. All those values and opinions that you once held dear, well, you can't say that stuff anymore because your life doesn't measure up to the. There's no integrity. There's no one-to-one correlation anymore. The consequences of the sin that you were involved in, at first you manage it. After a while, it manages you. Your conscience can become seared and you don't care anymore. The extreme is that I had all these high ideals, but the reality of my choices have now made it that I can't begin to live up to that. And the Bible is very plain about it. Anybody can trip and be trapped. Anybody can be overtaken. Nobody gets up in the morning that I know of and says, how can I disobey God today? But we do. And so we need each other. We need each other to be biblical. And actually, this is like the bad word in church. This is church discipline. This is church training. This is church growth. This is church being the church. If any of you, someone overtaken in any wrongdoing, number two, we need a spiritual response. You who are spiritual, restore that kind of person. Now the word, you who are spiritual, is pneumatikoi. And it's this idea, really, is comes up in 1 Corinthians where people were walking around going, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I have spoken in tongues, or I can do miracles, or I have seen Jesus always answers my prayers. I'm so special. And Paul says, you want to be spiritual? Take that broken brother right there and put him back together. Humpty Dumpty needed Christian friends. Our response to adversity and the troubles of other people is the best indicator of our own spiritual maturity. If you're spiritual, have the boldness, have the courage to go talk to that person and just ask, how's it going? How's it going? The Corinthians, rather than deal with the sin among them, they were proud and boasting of their spirituality. And Paul called them on the carpet. He says, the real test of your spirituality is not your gifts. It's not your church politics. It's not your Bible knowledge. Are you reaching out and restoring, katartizoing? Are you mending the nets? Are you patching the hole in that person's life? And if you're not willing to do that, what if Jesus had left us stuck where we were? It cost him to go to the cross to make us right with God. He has restored our broken relationship with God, and all he asks us to do is do that to one another. You who are spiritual, you who claim my spirit to be among you, demonstrate that as you bless other people. Have you ever caught yourself saying, when you watch the news at night, boy, I'm glad I don't have those kind of problems? Really? Just wait. Because there's an opportunity coming your way. It could happen. You ever watch Dateline and be thankful to God that that stuff that happened to all those people? Not only do you have the terrible tragedy of the whodunit, but then if you watched how they always make a big deal, how all the family turns on each other and everyone accuses one another and does it, just wait. We can be like that. Don't you know churches that have gone through stuff like that? Oh, just wait if you're not careful. And that leads to our third point, a self-consideration. You who are spiritual, restore such a person with a gentle spirit. In other words, not the condemning, not the cutting off, but the self-consideration that says, watching out for yourself so that you also won't be tempted. The high risk of loving people like Jesus did is that we can get caught up in that same stuff too. Ouch. I tell you what, the older I get, the more compassionate I am for the person who goes out and tries to rescue somebody, even if they fail. They tried. And there are times when, for my own sake as a pastor, I have to cut off a relationship because it's not healthy. I can't go there because I'm not perfect. I'm not invincible. I don't have it all figured out. I want to help, and I'll extend my hand. But if you take me down too, what have we done? Okay? So the reality check is we need to consider ourselves in a spirit of meekness, not pride, not haughtiness, gentleness. That's the same word in the chapter right above it. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. That's the same word. Restore them gently. Have you ever watched, have you ever had somebody come along your way and you go, you shouldn't do that. You should have known better. I'm glad I'm not like you. Why did you do that stuff? I mean, why don't we say something helpful? Hey, brother, what would it take to put your world back together? What would it take for you to be put back the way you were? How can I help that? I may not be able to do it all, but God could use my life to help in this way, and he could use somebody else's life to help that way. Maybe there's a resource over here, and before long, we could patch the tire, put some air in it, and we might go forward. Would that be cool or what? Considering yourself means to watch. The word is scope. Keep an eye on yourself so that you don't fall into the same place. You want to learn humility really fast? Go and tell somebody that I'm glad I don't have your problem, and then turn around and have that exact same problem. That'll teach humility very, very quickly. You know what? Here's the thing you got to watch. And I have to laugh. This was one of my funniest stories in my first church. I wanted to do the thing. Whenever you point a finger at someone else, what's the rest of that thing? There's three fingers pointing back at you. So I'm at my very first church, and I get up in the pulpit, and I'm ready to go like this, and what do I say? I said, do me a finger. I'm glad they didn't. But reality check, ladies and gentlemen. God gave us this pointer finger to point this way. Right? And he gave us 9 other opportunities to reach out like this. Okay? That's what Paul is telling the Galatians. It doesn't matter how spiritual you think you are, if you are willing to point others to Jesus, if you are not willing to reach out and bring them with you as you follow Jesus, Paul says elsewhere, follow me as I follow Christ. That ought to be the position of our heart, with tenderness and gentleness. And we've got to be careful, because those same things that have tripped and trapped others, our adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion. He's out to get us too. So there are times I have to go like this, but most of the time, I want that hand out that says, come, let's follow Jesus together. And finally, a state of maturity. That comes to verse 2 finally. He says, carry one another's burdens, because in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. When it says to bear one another's burdens, that's the word for a pregnant lady, bearing a child. A burden, the other image of that, it's either a pregnant lady or it's a soldier carrying his rucksack on his back. And Paul goes on, we'll just read it again. He says, carry one another's burdens, in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone considers himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Instead, let each person examine his own work and take pride in himself and not compare himself with someone else, for each one will have to carry his own load. God's ideal for us is that we manage our own lives. But the image is of a bunch of soldiers in a file walking along, and they're always having to reshift that burden. They're carrying that heavy load. And the image is of, imagine a guy in front of me and a guy behind me. The image of burden bearing is when I'm carrying my own load, and I've got that square on my shoulders, but I reach up and I lift up the burden of the soldier in front of me so his load is just a little bit lighter. I'm qualified. I'm following Jesus. I'm able to carry my own backpack, but I have enough within me that I can reach out and I can help you too. That's what Paul is saying it means for us to be the church. So, to summarize, a sad situation. I don't know what has tripped or maybe trapped you, but I do know this. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. There is nothing that you have ever done that the blood of Jesus does not atone and cover. That is good news. That is good news. And this is not the place for self-righteous folk. This is the place for those who've been washed in the blood and they knew they were sinners. And they know they're not perfect yet. And while we have grown and walked a little farther in our own spiritual life, none of us are too good to reach out and help somebody in. Those doors are open in the back, not for the folks who've got it all together. Because when we walked in those doors, we didn't have it all together either. A spiritual response. We who are spiritual, it's our business, it's our calling. Whatever else happens, if there's a hurricane in Louisiana, the Baptists ought to be involved and we ought to support it. If there's brokenheartedness in Wentzville, the military family shows us how to come together and support one another. If there's an earthquake in Haiti, the smallest thing we can do is do a little something. But the hardest things, again, I love the world. It's my next door neighbor. I can't stand. Well, he's got burdens that need our bearing as well. So a spiritual response, if that is the measure of spirituality, how are we doing today? A self-consideration, well, we're not immune. We're not going to pretend we've got it all together. We're going to work on it. We'll put boundaries in as we need to, but we want to get to a state of maturity where Marionville and all the world looks at the church at the base of the white lollipop water tower there and says, that's the place you can go for people to love you where you're at and love you so much they won't leave you where you're at. They will help you bear the burdens that God has brought to you. Now, to close, I need you to help carry my burdens. I need you to care about caring and to make sure the church has that idea and mentality all the time. I need you personally as my friend, and I need you and what gifts God's given you to make this church body work together. I think you need me, not to stand up and tell stories, not to be the dictator around here. That's not the goal at all. But we need each other to bear one another's burdens. There are times when I need you to hitch up my backpack, and I'll be lifting yours as well in the hopes that the file is able to move forward and accomplish the mission. But the state of maturity is the reality that none of us are there. But as we do that, we fulfill the law of Christ. Remember what we said our highest calling was just a couple weeks ago? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And the second commandment was like that one. What? Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, if I need my burdens shared, so does my neighbor. Let's fulfill the law of Christ. Amen? Hoorah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we live in a day where the world just seems so on fire. It's just so crazy. And if there weren't already enough things that had impacted people and given them burdens to bear, every time we gather, there's a whole other list of things that have happened. And so the message is timely, not because I thought so, but because the burdens just seem to be growing, and the people in need of support and love and care are multiplying. We do wish to be spiritual, Lord. We do claim the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. We do claim the reality of redemption on the cross. But Paul reminds us that if we are the spiritual ones, the measure of that is our willingness, our humility, our gentleness to help people get it together, to help them become not only what they were, but what they could be in Christ.